Now, we will finish by 8 o'clock, but we've got an opportunity now. I'm going to ask Keith a few questions about GAFCON, but because I fear that it may mystify a number of you exactly what it is, we want to give lots of time for you to ask questions so that we can try and address things that will be helpful to you. So, in a nutshell, Keith, tell us what GAFCON is.
So GAFCON stands for the Global Anglican Future Conference, and this was the third conference, the first happening in 2008 and the second in 2013. And at 2018 in Jerusalem, there were over 300 bishops from across the Anglican Communion, 600 plus clergy and over 900 lay people. And the genesis of GAFCON came out of a growing frustration back in 2008 and in the years before. Following in 1998, the bishops of the whole of the Anglican Communion gathered at Lambeth and were very clear on the teaching on human sexuality. It was a big resolution, Lambeth 110. But to the real astonishment, I think, of many, particularly in Africa, the North American Church, the Episcopal Church, consecrated a bishop in a same-sex relationship in 2003. There were other such like developments. It created what was known as a tear in the Anglican Communion, a tear in the fellowship. And there were discussions and conferences, and there was requests that discipline of some kind be exercised and a call to repentance, but nothing changed. And so rather than come to the 2008 conference, Lambeth Conference, many of the provinces in Nigeria and Uganda and Kenya and in other brought together this conference to try to stand and address what was perceived to be a huge danger facing the Anglican Communion of submission to a distorted gospel. And the failure of the church to really address that. So it's a confessional position, and I wish I could tell you that over the last 10 years it's all been solved and changed, but I can't tell you that. In fact, I think the tear has got worse and worse. It may almost be complete. But the conference was called for that reason, and the theme was to proclaim Christ faithfully to the nations. And part of the dynamic in GAFCON is not merely to address the internal politics of the Anglican Communion, whatever they may be and whatever others may decide to do. It's to re-establish and re-galvanize the focus and energy on the scripture and on the mission of the church, and to encourage those who may be struggling in the North American context and in other parts of the world where the church is at risk from succumbing to a distortion of the gospel.
Thank you, Keith. Just to give a bit of historical context, you mentioned John Wesley and George Whitfield, two fine Church of England clergymen who led the evangelical revival. In the 18th century, what was the response of the Church of England hierarchy to Whitfield and Wesley?
I think it was Wesley or Whitfield, perhaps both of them. They were locked out of churches. It was frightful. This weekend is actually the weekend of the Methodist Conference, and there wouldn't have been a Methodist Conference. They established these circuits while they were, this Wesley did at any rate, while he was within the Church of England. Charles Wesley died an Anglican. But Methodism really established as an alternative church simply because the Church of England at the time really refused to engage.
Now, obviously, everything's changed. We've just been to GAFCON, which represented around 50 million Anglicans, so around two-thirds to three-quarters of the global Anglican family. Apart from you, and we'll ignore Rod Thomas because he's a flying bishop, how many other serving diocesan and suffragan bishops from the Church of England attended this great renewal movement, the largest gathering of Anglicans in 50 years?
I was the only bishop who went.
That would be none. Do you see the scale of the issue we're facing? Yeah. This is why we must pray for this man. He went alone out of all the serving diocesan and suffragan bishops. That is a scandal, brothers and sisters. Sorry, that wasn't a question. That was a statement. You don't have to. You don't have to comment on that. I don't expect you to. But tell me, Keith, just one thing, because I don't want to give time for questions. Tell me one thing that really struck you, that's going to encourage you to keep on persevering as a result of GAFCON 3.
Well, there was a moment in the conference when we did a tour of some of the ancient sites, and I went down to the City of David, which is an excavation below the Temple of Jerusalem, which I hadn't been to before. They're trying to find evidence of David's past. And you go right down the side of this hill, and you come down to what they believe to be the pool, the tunnel that Hezekiah constructed back in the 7th century. It's amazing. And as we were going down, the guide told us that in this excavation they had found clay seals with the names of two people mentioned in Jeremiah 38, verse 1, Gedaliah and Jubal. Now, names that you might not be immediately familiar with, but who are recorded. It was a very explicit link between the scriptures and what was going on. So there was one thing, so Jeremiah was around here. We heard about Jeremiah, who Jesus was compared to. That was the moment I got an email. I probably should not have checked on my phone. The one email, the only one that I had from a clergy person, the kind of disgusted from, I won't tell you where he was from, not here, that you were at GAFCON. So it was a kind of, oh. And I think when you go back to a place like Jerusalem and you see what the Lord went through and you see what the prophets went through, we ought not to be remotely surprised. I wish it wasn't as it is, but I can anyway, get into kind of, oh no, shock, horror, da da. And actually, there's somebody at the Church of England Evangelical Council preaching in January this year, talked about the encouragement of the normal, and persecution is normal. Jeremiah preached for 40 years, and they didn't take a blind bit of notice.
Thank you, Keith. Let's open up for some questions. So Alex got the microphone. I'll have questions to Keith or to me, but make the most of Keith being here. We can wax on for another 15 minutes if there aren't any questions, but I want to give you an opportunity. Yes, Fiona. I don't think we've ever actually said here, but do you know, Fiona Bruce is now Canon Fiona Bruce. I've been looking for an opportunity to say that, but since you've got a microphone in your hand, I'm going to embarrass you. Yeah. So, yes. Anyway, you carry on and ask a question.
I've been hearing about this term spiritual abuse, which is coming into play.
Yeah.
A few academics who are arguing that, you know, talking particularly to children about the gospel is abusive. And I wondered how we are going to be led by the likes of yourselves to combat that. So, no pressure.
Well, that came up, Fiona. One of the things GAFCON has done is establish some networks, theological resources, bishops' training, church planting, and so on. One of them is a lawyers' network, and I signed up to that. And it was hugely impressive, you know, senior lawyers, Australia, North America, Nigeria. And one of the issues was the issue of religious freedom. And specifically, I raised that very question because of the pressure that Rod Thomas has come under in terms of apparently historic Christian teaching being abusive. I think the specific, lots of things to say. I think I would very, very much value your prayers, because that area of valuing God's children, the Church of England's response to the education issues, is something that I think is a really key area of teaching and where there needs to be addressing. And I want to press into that to know what to say about that. That very question, that's the first thing. The second is to pray for the other evangelical bishops and the bishops. I know there is consideration being given to some kind of public statement, And I don't want to say more than that, but I would like you to pray that that happens and that that does really nail this kind of... I mean, even to make the allegation, it seems to me, is abusive. I mean, it is pretty appalling. And that area, and what was encouraging to me from this lawyers' network, human rights lawyers, globally, and particularly from the American and the Australian context, where they are very familiar with this, there is that need for connecting up with each other, in order that we are able to help each other when the kind of rubber hits the road where we are. I think that's probably as much as I wish I could give, a kind of a statement or not. One of the people I actually really had I enjoyed meeting was Andrea Williams from Christian Concern, and she's a fiery character. If you know that ministry,
she's been here.
And I know that she's borne immense cost, actually. I think one of the things that I am feeling, particularly in coming back, is that instead of railing against the dark, I've got to speak into the light and speak. And I think knowing the words, I mean, and how as Christians in Parliament and in whatever our sphere of responsibility, we can encourage each other and have the courage to do that. We just need to do that. There are other networks that are helping us, the Evangelical Fellowship, the Anglican Communion is resurrecting itself in order to kind of help bring theologians and people around the world to do this. So it's not that nothing is happening, but we need to, as you supremely are doing, Piero, wake up and smell the coffee.
And I'll just give a quick comment as well, just on that. GAFCON was great for networking in all sorts of ways. We can't say definitely yet because the council haven't met, but we're hoping that the Church Society is going to be appointing a second associate director, and part of his or her brief will be education, because the Church of England family of schools are one of our greatest opportunities, but they're also hugely vulnerable. Yeah. And when you've got Justin Welby inviting Stonewall in, you wonder quite, what side he's on. You don't have to comment on that either. But I also met with Lisa Nolland, and we're looking at doing some work together there, and with Andrea Williams. And there was some real encouragement, actually, from Anglicans from Sydney Diocese, who also run a network of schools, very much on the pattern of what we do in the Church of England. And they are finding ways to resist some of this, it seems to me, in a more coordinated fashion than we are in England so far. And given the similarity between our legal systems, I'm hoping there might be some help with that as well. So I'm working with Church Society to try and bring that.
And I think one of the things that was an encouragement for GAFCON for me on the Wednesday night was the different, if I can use the kind of shorthand, tribes of evangelicalism were present and were kind of really wanting to work together. So that's great to hear that about Church Society. The Church of England Evangelical Council has got a small group who want to do work on education as well. Now, whether they can and how they can work is, but it's kind of getting people, getting the expertise and making those connections that is going to be of great importance.
Well, we also started a new network for governors of church schools, including a clergyman who's had a CDM taken out of him for teaching biblically and faithfully in his own church school, not in our diocese, needless to say. So it is extraordinary.
I'm not going to tell you where it is, but there is one of the clergy in our diocese, in one of the places that I drove through on my way here, the local head teacher of a community has asked for advice. A 7-year-old boy wanting to be known as gay in the school, because if that's his parents want that to be known. Now, 7 years of age. So, what does that do to the kid? What does that do to the community? These are real questions, and we have to pray for our schools and teachers and Christians involved. That we are loving, of course, we are lawful insofar as we must be and can be, but we are obedient to the King.
Well, that was one of the key questions Ofsted asked me a few months ago in one of our schools, was what are we doing with the trans children? So there we go. That's the world we live in. Let's have another question. Yes, Debbie.
Can I just ask, you're saying that you, very sadly, were the only bishop that went to GAFCON. Is that because you believe there's a genuine, heartfelt belief by those bishops that it was all wrong to go, and they have a very strong opinion, in our view, against going against the scriptures? Or is it that there's a genuine fear of putting the head above the parapet?
I think there are probably more evangelical bishops in the College of Bishops now than there have ever been. Please don't quote me on any of this, but and I know that at least there were two who would have very much liked to have gone. They couldn't go for a variety of reasons, partly to do with the House of Bishops here, partly to do with GAFCON there, and so there might have been other outcomes, but there weren't. And I know one at least was very disappointed not to come, a diocesan bishop. never mind others being afraid to put their head above the parapet. I am, honestly. Mm-hmm. I know what will happen. That's why kind of Jeremiah is quite a good kind of example.
Yeah.
So I do think there is that. But I think, and I know a number of people are wanting to know, what do we say to this culture? What do we say and how do we say it? And there is a moment for silence. There is a time when, you know, God gives them up and I think, is it to Ezekiel, don't say anything to them. They won't listen to you.
Mm.
Right? But that's different from not being willing and ready to speak if the Lord gives you something to say. And I think that praying for that apostolic and prophetic ministry is really, really something to pray for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I do slightly oscillate, depending on which day of the week it is. But it's not, I mean, I'm not the only person who knows that something needs to be said and is thinking about what to say. That wouldn't, I was the only one who ended up going to GAFCON, but I saw a number of the others of them on Thursday at York Minster. So I think
that was probably, yeah, that's probably what was concerning me.
But there are also increasingly vocal bishops who want to take us down a revisionist line.
Yes.
And how, you know, and some of them are not a million miles away from this diocese. And I've been in correspondence with them. I've talked with them privately
and
publicly.
Are they? They're not quiet.
They're not quiet at all. And okay. So at what point do you publicly go into the stocks against them? And again, that's a real need for wisdom, because you know how the media just like to play you bat and ball, and you don't want to give ammunition. So having wisdom about this and godliness is a key thing, and prayer. I think that was the thing that came, that really, really, we just need to pray. And, you know, that verse is at 2 Samuel 20, you know, Lord, we don't know what to do. But our eyes are on you.
Yeah.
And that's got to be our prayer.
Thank you.
Thanks, Debbie. Another question? David.
The GAFCON sort of statement was fairly clear at the end about Lambeth 2020. Would you like to prophesy?
Well, that's right. So in case you're not familiar with that, they have asked for there to be repentance, they've asked to be a reformation, and they've asked that those bishops that have not repented to not be invited to Lambeth 2020. And if there is no repentance, they are urging those bishops who are part of the GAFCON movement not to attend the 2020 Lambeth conference. I know there are different views about that within the GAFCON movement, even amongst the African bishops. And I think we just have to wait and see. I feel very concerned that the reaction since I'd come back, and I did expect a bit of comment, a bit of maybe even attack. I hadn't quite expected to be ignored, But that's the strategy. You just ignore it and move on to something else. So I really don't know what my glimmer of. No, I don't. I think, and you could pray for me to try and articulate this in a way that might find favour with the archbishops, is that unless there is a clear engagement with what GAFCON have said, then 2020 will be a waste of time. There needs to be some way, even before then, of engaging it to explore what repentance means. And, you know, where we need to do repentance and what Jesus is saying to us. My paradigm, as it were, theologically, is Revelation 1 to 3, to the letters of the churches. And in it, the lampstands and Jesus walking amongst the lampstands. And in each of the seven churches, he says, I know your works. And he knows what he's for and he knows what he's against. And he says so and he calls them to repent. That, to me, ought to be the paradigm for the Anglican Communion. It doesn't talk about separating. I mean, there are other places in the Bible where that is an issue, and that's not something to be neglected. But in Revelation, it is, I know your works. This is what is going on. Repent. And I think if that somehow could be established as the paradigm, it might give people a frame. It might give GAFCON a way of engaging with the other provinces. It might give the Holy Spirit a moment to save the Anglican Communion. But I like that hymn we sang about faith, walking by faith. Mm. We don't know what God is going to do. And, you know, if, for example, we saw some kind of revival of a Wesleyan Whitfield kind between now and 2020, that would make life a different, it would be a different conversation, wouldn't it?
It's always good. Of course, Revelation is written to encourage suffering believers to persevere, isn't it? So that very paradigm has a practical application.
The three things, Revelation 1:9, the patient endurance, the kingdom, and the persecution. Yeah. Those three things.
Yeah. Let's go for, oh no, actually we are out of time. I did promise you would have finished by 8. To let you go home. So, Keith, would you pray for us? Thank you.
So now unto him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or imagine by the power that does work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, now and in all generations. Lord, we thank you for the kingdom and the gospel. We thank you that you are the world's true king. We thank you that you are building your church and the gates of hell will not prevail. And Lord, as we've been able to feast on your word and as we've been able to worship and fellowship together, Lord, just use us living so as my brothers and sisters here, wherever they're going to be tomorrow. For us, Sister Fiona in Parliament, thank you so much for her. Pray for all of us, Lord, whatever our place of service may be. Help us internationally through GAFCON, through the other networks to be clear and faithful even under persecution. And we ask you to fit us for this hour. You know our weakness, you know our frailty, you know our fear. Lord, meet us and equip us. And fulfill in us your purpose, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, it's not quite proper to do this, but it seems right to pray for our dear brother. Lord, we've sung, we go in faith, our own great weakness feeling. And Lord, we thank you for Keith. Thank you that he went as a Church of England serving bishop to GAFCON, even as a lone voice. Lord, we pray that your grace would continue to be sufficient for him. That he would know your power in his weakness, that you would indeed sustain him, Lord, in patient endurance, in faithfulness, because of the coming kingdom. Lord, please, use him, we pray, as a voice that we dare to pray, unlike Jeremiah's, may not be ignored for 40 years.
Yeah.
but may yet be used of you to bring change for the glory of Jesus and the good of this nation. For we ask it through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.